This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, fellas, it's been a minute.
It's been like a month, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been a minute, and really, we're gonna have to wait a couple weeks till you get back from the ocean, Jason. But these questions, well, the Orioles questions, are through next Friday, the 16th. There is an off day on Monday.
As long as you score it correctly, we're good to go.
Yeah.
As long as you abide by your own rules.
Yes. I have it in my notes.
You got it in your little Google notes?
I have it in my notes.
Okay. Don't lose your laptop.
We're good.
That's a lot of time. You could lose your laptop between now and then.
This is in the cloud. This is Gmail.
Oh, then we're good. It's in Giro's cloud.
No, not Giro. That's the vault.
Yeah, but the vault was really the cloud.
I don't think it was the cloud.
No, I think he had a vault.
Actual vault.
He had a vault
with a big book in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Adley,
leather-bound book.
Yes, Adley Rutschman. He has not homered since July 19th. That was the first game after the All-Star break. Adley Rutschman homers between now and the 16th, next Friday. There is an off day on Monday.
Who's first?
Let's go with Chase.
Not playing tonight, an off day.
Yeah, off day Monday. He's going to be catching a lot. Most of the power comes when he DHs. I'm thinking.
He ain't DHing
anymore. I don't know about them facing a lot of lefties in the next week. I'm going to say Boney's got a couple of doubles, but not a homer.
Oh, man.
A couple of doubles.
Yeah, this is a tough one, Bone.
It is very timely, though, considering what we were just discussing on Totally Radley.
Well done, Bone.
Thank you.
And full disclosure, we moved Bounce Back Fallback.
Yeah, so really, Bone had nothing to do with
no,
that.
I did. I changed the order.
No, Rock changed.
I changed the order of the questions.
Okay. You might have done that. That's smart on his part. You know what? We got to give him that.
Well done, Bone.
That is good.
I was trying to give you
credit. I trust you, Bone. You wouldn't lie about something like that.
No. Do I lie about anything?
Well, probably not.
I'll say, you know what? Seems to me he likes the trop. I think he homers this weekend.
Kenny Sunshine.
Yeah.
He homered off of Jason Adam in the Trop once.
Yeah, I think he had a grand slam the last time they were down there.
Speaking of homers, man, we know that Coby Mayo is still looking for his first hit.
Yes.
But he homers between now and next Friday.
Mark me down as a bounce back.
There we go.
Even though he might never play again, he's going to homer.
Yeah, I don't know how much regular run he's going to get. And if they do start leaning into O'Hearn at first, then that means you've got an experienced right-handed bat off the bench in Mountcastle who could provide some pop. Bone, I'm going to say he gets his first major league hit. And I'm going to say he has an at-bat next week at Camden Yards where he goes oppo and hits one off the out-of-town scoreboard.
So no homer.
Not a homer. Not just yet.
Wager the opponent or a pitcher?
It hits the scoreboard
where
they're giving the Philly score.
Oh, very nice.
How about that?
I like it.
I'll say
that's some Karnak stuff for you right there.
I'll say this. If that happens,
what will you do, Bob?
I'll give you a standing
You'll stroke me every time we have this segment.
I don't know if
I mean, we'll change the name of this segment to something that honors me.
Yes.
Yeah. Bounce back, fall back, locking four is a genius.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We will absolutely.
You got it all
in
your Google Notes there, right?
I have it all here. Did you hear me typing? This isn't fake. This is real life. Zach Eflin against his former team tonight. Delivers a quality start and records at least one out in the seventh inning.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a spicy meatball, right, Jason?
Man. Bone.
I hate when he does these combo ones.
I know. It's tough. Six and a third.
Okay, six and a third. So he got the out.
Two earned.
Okay. That's it.
Six hits.
Okay, hold on. Got to put the bounce back. Six hits.
One walk.
Six hits.
Two strikeouts.
How many runs did you say?
He said two. Okay. So that is a bounce back.
So, yeah, just to clarify, he doesn't have to finish seven. He just has to get one out.
Just one out.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with my friend. I'm gonna go bounce back.
All right. We know that the O's they've struggled to
do anything right.
Yeah.
Okay. I was gonna say go on a run here, but I guess that pretty much
a lot of fits and starts.
Do they buck that trend, Ken?
Buck word of the week here on IA.
What trend? Like
I'm saying that. Next,
I don't understand the question.
This is very open to interpretation.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't asked the question.
It's a very ambiguous question, Bo.
I've asked the question.
I thought you forgot how this game was played.
You said my name. I thought the question was, will they buck this trend?
The Rays and the Nats. That is their next five games.
Uh-huh.
The Orioles go 4-1 over that stretch. Ken Wyman. Or better, if they somehow...
They go 5-0.
We'll give you the points for that as well.
They do like playing at the Trop, Bon.
They do.
And then they're home against the Nats.
The Nats are struggling.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of Orioles fans will be down at the
Trop. Bounce back, Bon. 4-1.
Wow.
You sold me.
Bon, at this point, I would gladly take 3-2, and that's what I'm thinking.
So that's a fall back.
I'm not pushing my luck with this group
these days. We also know that the ninth inning situation is very much up in the air
between now and Dominguez, or
their closers.
Yeah. Well, let me ask the question first. Smart guy,
no.
Tough guy,
push him back, Bone.
Backbone. Fight for your right to party, Bone.
A single pitcher will record multiple saves in the next week. Could be anyone.
It's only five games, right?
It's open-ended.
It's five games.
Belway Ben gets a
couple. How many save situations are we going to get? Bone, I will say that Dominguez and Cano each have one save.
That's not
in that span.
That was a fallback.
How is it the five games we're talking about?
Yes.
Well, I have them going 4-1, Bone.
Yeah.
I got Dominguez with at least two saves, so I will bounce back.
Two saves. So now let's get to tonight.
Okay.
This one's easy, straightforward. David Ojabo gets a sack. Ugh. Ken won.
Nah, I'll fall back on that one.
Okay.
I will remember the words of our friend Jonas Schaefer, who said he's been much better against the run lately.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, though.
Same fallback. Okay.
Yeah.
How about this?
Yeah.
Tez Walker scores a touchdown tonight. The rookie gets in the end zone tonight, Jason.
Not so sure about the caliber of quarterback play here,
but we'll get to that in a second.
I could see them scoring, but maybe on the ground. What is it? Owen what?
Owen Wright.
Owen Wright.
Not Owen what? Owen Wright.
Owen Wright.
Owen what?
Not to be confused with Owen who or Owen what.
Ken?
I'm going to bounce back.
I'm going to say, though, Owen Wright scores.
Oh,
I'm going to bounce back. I think he's going to catch one from Emory Jones.
Oh, wow. Calling the shot. Catches one.
He's trying to steal my thunder.
That's right.
Emory. He doesn't force it, though. I mean, Ken.
What are you implying?
You force it, Jack. That's exactly what he implies.
What are you implying?
That's exactly what he implies.
Are you diminishing my product?
I'm not, my process? All I'm saying is when Ken gives a prediction, it means a lot.
It has a lot of weight.
He does not give many predictions. Uh-huh. He typically just plays the game.
Yes, there's a lot of weight to it.
I mean, when he nailed, what was it, Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy Butler's points in a playoff game.
He doesn't want to force it.
Nah, right between the eyes, Bone. You picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah, you're touring cahoots on everything.
And the last one, and I know where you guys are going to go, but I'll ask anyways. Josh Johnson does not turn the ball over tonight. Does not turn the ball over, Ken.
I would say fallback on that one. Okay. It's a fallback.
Josh Johnson pick six.
Oh.
Maybe Cooper DeJean.
Pick six to...
Is he healthy? Is he
I don't know.
Yeah. I know he's hurt. You know, I almost said, just to your point, Bone, I almost said pick six, but I didn't want to force it.
I didn't want to force it. I respect
when this goes down as the most historic bounce back fallback ever, we'll know the score by Thursday or Friday. Feel free to call me during my vacation.
Yeah. We'll bring you on.
If Kobe Mayo.
Feel free to bring me on, Bone. You know the number.
Yeah. I do know your number.
We got your number.
I do know your number.
Hey, coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. What are you expecting in tonight's Ravens-Eagles preseason game? Also, we can talk Orioles. Are you frustrated with some of the platoons going on? The Dean Kramer of it all last night.
You mad at Hyde? A lot of people, I think, are mad at Hyde.
Yeah, what are you thinking about Brandon Hyde right now? Are you upset Kobe Mayo's not starting for the third time in four games? 410-583-1057.
You sick of Bone screwing up bounce back fallback?
That's another good one. Are you sick of the Bone? That's 410-583-1057. We'll hear from you next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Orioles getting ready to take on the Rays, first of three tonight. Remember, Baltimore baseball tonight, it's 6 o'clock. It's the Bone and Jim Hunter getting you ready for baseball. Orioles lose 2-3 in Toronto. And last night, we want to hear from the people, 410-583-1057. We can talk your expectations, Ravens and Eagles tonight, and also your thoughts on the Orioles of late, who continue to play 500 baseball. What's it, 26-26 in the last 52? Last night was a combination of things for me, and I think for all of us. First of all, Dean Kramer was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense, like, not there was only one error, but Jackson Holliday had another kind of misplay that he was bailed out. Maybe they would have had a double play if he gives a good throw. And even though no error occurred, Ryan O'Hearn in right field, that's a ball. And those are two balls, the double and the triple. Anthony Santander, I think, to me, it's pretty clear he catches both of those. Instead, they're RBI base hits.
This team is not good enough right now to win without the little things being taken care of. And the little things for them right now become big things when they're not hitting as consistently or anything close to it now as they were in the first 2.5, 3 months of the season. And when their pitching staff has been decimated by injuries. So I think they need to get back to basics. I think they've ridden this platoon thing as far as they can. We all wanted Kobe Mayo here. Those who've watched him closely in the minors had grave concerns about his ability to play third base. But hey, they know better than us. And outside of a week or two at first base, when it looked like they might trade Mountcastle, they played him exclusively at third base in the minors. They never put him in right field, even though I was shocked he didn't play a fair amount of right field for the Norfolk Tides. But that's their reality. So if he has to sit, because Ramon, as much as he's not as good as he used to be at third, and he's not even league average, he's definitely more professional there than Kobe Mayo right now. And the shortstop we know has been struggling. And you've got to play that kid at second base every day and move him up the lineup because of the bat. But he's not a natural second baseman. He's not comfortable there. And he's going to have growing pains. And the guy at first base has seemed a little off to me in a bunch of different ways. And he looks like someone who might kind of know the end is near. And I don't think that's bringing out the best in him. Like, that's a problem. And then you're playing a guy in right field who's really not a right fielder too. Like, I think they're going to have to get their heads around the fact that this pitching staff is going to have a lot of balls put in play, and you need more often than not Mullins, Kowser, and Santander out there. And Mayo's going to have to get in where he fits in. And if you really want that left-handed bat of O'Hearn's, then it's going to be at first base, which means less Mountcastle. I think they need to ride that. Like, I think they need to stick with that for a while here and try to win some games, at least playing a professional degree of defense.
They have to, because right now you have problems compounding on each other where the pitching has been really bad for a while now, and then you combine that with the poor defense, and it leads to these unearned runs. You got 16 errors in your last 17 games. I mean, that is nowhere near good enough, and that doesn't include those, you know, misplays by Ryan O'Hearn. That doesn't include Jackson Holiday maybe botching possible double plays. It's not good enough, and this team, it looked like when they won 4 of 5 in between the Blue Jays and the Padres, okay, maybe they're heading in the right direction, and then you lose the first two of the Guardians here. They haven't won 3 straight games since the All-Star break. It's been 2 wins and then a couple losses. They just haven't been able to go on a run, and that's a huge reason why in the last 52 games, they're 26-26. We're talking almost a third of the season.
Well, let me just be clear, too, and I'm not to be critical of the way you termed it, Bone, but those weren't misplays by O'Hearn. Those are just plays he can't make because he's not an outfielder. An outfielder, we saw an outfielder who can't run great, but he's a very good outfielder in Santander the night before go up against the wall and rob Vlad of extra bases. Then the next night, a guy who's not a right fielder, that's a ball that a competent right fielder, both those balls are competent right fielder catches, but he can't make the play on them because he's not suited for that role. Like if somehow Cowser's in right field, he makes those plays. Like, but you put a first baseman in the outfield, he can catch pop-ups, he can catch fly balls that are routine, but anything that's not routine, you see, he can't get to.
Look, we wanted this team to get another bat in the offseason. They didn't do it. They got to a point where the offense became a problem. And now they're sacrificing defense for offense. One thing Christian Pache could do was get the ball. Now, he can't hit a lick, mm-mm, but he's gone because they think Slater's a better matchup guy. I'm not sure how good he is defensively. Eloy Jimenez can't catch a cold.
No, he's
Kobe
not playing.
Kobe Mayo, I don't think, is ever going to be a major league third baseman. But, they've leaned that way because they need help offensively because Westberg went down and because they didn't really add a power bat. I mean, even Eloy, he's hitting ground balls. It's great. It's working, but it's not going to work forever. But at some point, they better lean defense.
Let's go out to the phone lines, 410-583-1057. Alan, you're on the Fan.
Hey guys, how are you doing? It's first time caller. Thanks for taking.
Thank you.
I've been watching the game. I've been watching the games a lot, and I've noticed we get too cute with guys that we should be pitching to. And Guerrero last night, I wouldn't even pitch him. I'd have walked him every time.
Yeah.
He kills us. He kills us all the time. And the guy behind Horowitz, Kramer was striking him out. And I don't know why. Let's put them on. Let's strike the guy out. Let's get out of the inning. And, we get too cute. And like y'all was saying before, the defense has to get better because we're not good enough right now on defense. We got to make the simple plays. Let's catch the ball, throw the ball, know where you're going with the ball. It's just basic fundamentals. And I think that's what this team lacks a little bit sometimes. I think they just get mentally, they just forget. Yeah. I don't know if it's forgetting or what. But I just think we got to get back to fundamentals the way this team was playing in the beginning of the year. And Dean Kramer, my stepson loves Dean Kramer. I told him Dean Kramer ain't no better than a fifth starter or maybe a bullpen guy at best. He's never going to be, he has his great times, but he gets too cute with his pitches. Just go after the guys, guys hitting 200. Let's go after him. And he wouldn't have never pitched. I'd have never pitched to him.
No, I appreciate the call. Walking Dalton Varsho in front of Vlad twice, that's just unacceptable.
He nibbles with the guys he should challenge, and he challenges the guys he should nibble with. Like that, and I've been watching it for years, and it drives me crazy.
Let's grab one more. Steve's in Bel Air. Steve, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering what effect moving the wall back in left field had on Monty. Mountcastle. I was wondering what his record was before that, the years before, because, he was so at times.
You have seen, and I think it was the Roku game, because it was Matt Vasgersian calling it. He hit a ball that Vasgersian thought was gone, and it got caught at the wall because of Walterboard, and you saw Ryan Mountcastle kind of roll his eyes. He's been, but now it's been a while.
He hit a career high 33 home runs in 2021, and then since the wall,
yeah.
it no, got instant.
Look, Alston Hayes' power went down. Ramon's got one home run at home the last 2 years, and that just came a couple weeks ago. And the power's down for Mountcastle. So it definitely has an effect, but he's not hitting on the road either.
Yep. Yeah, and he's not
we're not seeing power on the road. That's a ballpark, Skydome. He usually mashes it. Yeah.
Again, he has two home runs and 16 RBI since the end of June. That's not what you're expecting from Ryan Mountcastle. We'll come back. Ravens, and they have a football game tonight against the Eagles. It's six-pack time. The six-pack of guys we're intrigued or interested in seeing in tonight's game. We'll give you our list next here on The Fan. Football is back. Ravens and Eagles tonight. Preseason game number one. It's time for our six-pack
of
guys.
Time to start another damn streak is
That's
what it's time
right.
to do.
Yeah, it
Let's
is.
Make some history.
Six guys we're intrigued or interested in seeing tonight. And Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
Number six for me is Charlie Kohler. I think he's going to have a bigger role in this offense this year. And I'm intrigued to see with, obviously, Mark Andrews ain't going to play. And we'll see if Isaiah likely plays. But I think Charlie Kohler is a guy, what was he? I think he was hurt at the beginning of last year and finally got to play. He's healthy this training camp, and I think he's in for a bigger role. I'm interested to see what he does tonight.
My six is Travis Jones. We've heard a lot of buzz about him. Somebody's like, you can't sit everybody. I don't think he's at a stage in his career where you say nothing to see here, you know, put him on ice till week one. I think he's got an opportunity to make some things happen here in the preseason. And I not that we're going to see him with Madubuike, because I don't expect Madubuike to play at all, but you might start to get a glimpse of what him taking a step forward alongside Madubuike in the regular season might look like. I'd like to see him wreak some havoc.
Number five.
It's been a long time since Voorhees played football, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a big guard guy. I've said that a million times. But in this instance, I am interested to see what it looks like, particularly because I got a feeling he's going to have a 6'6", 360-pound guy snapping next to him in Ben Cleveland, which is ideal. A guy who hasn't played a whole lot of center, so that's going to ramp up the degree of difficulty. And I think the Eagles starters are going to play a little bit tonight, and they've got some big bodies in their defensive front. So let's see how Voorhees holds up.
That's a good one. I didn't, because he's a guard and I'm watching on TV, I don't know how much I'll be able to glean, but I do want to see what the whole Voorhees thing looks like. My five is Tez Walker. He's probably going to be their number one receiver tonight. Now, the quarterback situation is very interesting, but I want to see what Tez looks like. Remember, he was a guy at North Carolina that originally they did not approve him to play. Then they did. He was somebody that people thought of as a higher round pick going into last season. I want to see what this looks like.
Number four.
Four is Trenton Simpson. Like, what exactly is Trenton Simpson like in year two? We didn't see a lot of him last year, especially in the regular season, and he was a rookie, so you're still getting your feet wet. This whole thing of being under Roquan Smith's like wing, what this is the first opportunity to see this new Trenton Simpson. What does it look like?
I thought about him, but then I was like, the whole thing with him is what he looks like next to Roquan for me. Like, right, that's when we'll really know. There's no substitute for Roquan, and I do wonder if they even put the dot on him and make him Roquan tonight, which
you
don't think he'll have to do in the regular season. So I went with a different young defensive player at four. Four for me is Nate Wiggins. I mean, how is he not playing in the preseason? And the Eagles' offensive line, I know there's been a retirement at center, and I guess Landon Dickerson's a little beat up, but like, I would think they're going to run the ball. I want to see what he looks like in run support. I want to see what he looks like in coverage. I would think he's someone who's going to have a significant opportunity in these games.
Yeah, I'll go a slight edge to Jason. I mean, I'm interested in seeing all six of the guys that you named. But, I mean, Wiggins being the first-round pick, Voorhees hadn't played football in forever, and Travis Jones has been one of the stars during camp.
We are doing the six-pack of guys we're looking forward to seeing tonight. And, Ben, let's continue.
Number three.
I've got a backup left tackle fetish. I've been very open and honest about that
since
early in the offseason. John Jones,
A couple years ago.
Yeah, John Jones, I believe, will be the starting left tackle tonight because I don't think they'd put Ronnie on this surface right now, although I do think Ronnie's a guy who probably needs
Josh
to play
Jones.
A little bit. What did I say?
John.
Josh Jones. I missed. I got a JJ coming up here, and I think we all probably do as well. But no, look, does he become the swing tackle? Does he play well enough that McCarry's role morphs a little bit? Does he end up being the starting right tackle and the swing left tackle? I think we'll see a lot of them this preseason.
My three is Roger Rosengarten. Like, is he able to handle, and he's going to take on, it sounds like the Eagles are going to play their starters early. Can he handle the physicality of a team that can get after the quarterback pretty good? Is he going to be able to stand up to that? What does that look like? I'm very intrigued to see him tonight.
Number two.
Two's where I have Wiggins. He's the first round pick. I know that when they had the NFL officials out there this past week, he got a bunch of, he was a little too grabby. Were you there out there that day, Jason?
There were flags galore.
Yeah, I want to see, obviously he's got a ton of confidence and he's got speed, but can he handle Devonta Smith tonight? Like, is he going to be on him? How's that look? That's something I'm looking forward to.
My two is Josh Johnson, the other JJ. I don't think it's quite good enough. I don't think it's going to look good enough. I'll be fascinated to see how much he plays in these games, how much of a competition this really is, how willing they'll be to go outside the organization if this looks like somebody who's much better in theory than in practice. He's obviously had a rough start to training camp. He played more than expected because of Lamar's absence. That didn't go so well. Now, that's against a really good defense, and he's got a young offensive line in front of him. But guess what? That's going to be the case again tonight. He's going to have some pieces around him that are suboptimal, again, including a 6'6" guy who hasn't played much center, snapping him the ball, and there might be adverse weather conditions. So let's see QB2.
Number one.
One for me is David Ajabo. Like, this has got to, like, this.
Our list is so different, but.
Better look better than a year ago. Yeah. Like, that was jarring. Watching that last year was jarring. Like, oh my God, am I off on this player right now? Can he set the edge? Is there any degree of physicality to him? Is he setting people up? Are there moves? Are there counters? Does he look like he belongs on an NFL football field? And I understand he's obviously still coming back from a major injury, but given what they have, or more specifically don't have at this position group, yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah, I didn't get to Josh Johnson because, I feel like I know what he is, and I'm not going to be surprised about what I see tonight. But my one is Ajabo as well. Like, do we see any signs of a kid who was supposed to be a first-round pick before he got hurt and then was taken hurt in the second round because it was supposed to be a steal in value? We haven't seen anything close to that from David Ajabo. Oh, and he keeps getting hurt.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
Yeah, I think you should have had Rosengarten on there, but Josh Johnson needed to be on there, too. I mean,
I've seen all I need to see from him.
No, I know, but I mean, backup quarterback has been a big talking point on the show for a few weeks now.
You know why? Because the guy's not any good, and we know that.
Well,
but they need to be convinced.
Is him not being good?
They need to accept the reality.
Exactly. Is that going to happen?
Coming up next, our TWIB notes. The Orioles have been not playing great baseball of late. Well, guess what? Neither have the Yankees. They just lost 2 or 3 to the Angels. They're rained out tonight, so the Orioles have a chance to pick up a half game. We'll hear from Aaron Boone, TWIB notes, next here on The Fan.
Yeah, very. You know, tonight wasn't our night. I actually thought Nestor threw the ball okay. Like, he wasn't giving up a ton of hard contact. Had a hard time putting guys away tonight. They were spoiling pitches. He'd get to two strikes, couldn't finish guys off. So, you know, our guys are more than capable, and, you know, hand the ball over to Carlos tomorrow. He's throwing the ball really well, and, you know, more help on the way too with guys coming from injury. So we have everything we need.
Huh. That was right. Aaron Boone. He said he thought Nestor threw well. He went 4 2/3, 9 hits, a walk, 6 earned runs. The Angels took 2 of 3 from the Yankees in the Bronx, winning last night 9-4. Aaron Boone's
the Angels without Mike Trout, without Renjifo,
no Otani. Yeah.
Yeah, just a couple of pitches away. In his last seven starts, Cortez has an ERA of 7.5.
Since putting out that tweet about, like, you know, people want to be us. Yes, he's not been good. Yes.
Well, none of their starters have been that good. No. Luis Hill is back to being their best starter over his last five trips through. And they actually let him throw 107 pitches the other night, which kind of caught my attention. Now, he only went five in doing so because he walked a ton.
Yeah.
But that was a little bit of a sign of desperation to me as well.
Yankees starting rotation ERA since June 1st. Stroman, 6.32. Rodon, 5.83. Cortez, 5.68. Gerrit Cole, 5.09. Luis Gil, 4.31.
By the way, Tyler Anderson, who got the win last night, 6 innings, 3 hits, one earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, brings the ERA down to 2.99. I'm surprised he's still there.
Me too. Me too. They've got a big series with the Rangers. I think the Rangers are pretty much cooked, but like, this is interesting for the Yankees now because they just played a doubleheader a day ago and dominated the first one, got crushed in the second one, went through a lot of arms, went through some arms again last night, and now they're going to have to play two tomorrow with the Rangers.
More from Aaron Boone. Did the weather affect Nestor Cortez?
Yeah, a little bit at times out there, I think it did. There was that one inning where it really got bad, you know, at different portions, probably affected a couple pitches, but, you know, I mean, tough conditions, both teams, you know, just not a great night for us.
Tyler Anderson
pitched. Pretty good night for the Halos.
Yeah, Tyler Anderson pitch seemed to not be
like,
bothered.
I don't think the Angels would give that one back.
No, I think they're pretty
happy. They were up like 8-1 in the fourth inning. I think they were feeling pretty good.
Yeah. So, yes, as you mentioned, Yankees and Rangers, and they were rained out already today. Let's take a look at the AL West, shall we, guys? And it's an interesting situation as we sit here going into play tonight. Well, obviously, you mentioned the Rangers are
fading.
Sort of fading. But the Astros and the Mariners are in a dead heat as they enter play tonight.
Yeah, and the Mariners already began a series with the Tigers last night, and they needed a little bit of help from Tigers outfield defense to have a come-from-behind win. Former Oriole farmhand Brendan Hanafee started that game for the Tigers and shut the Mariners down for two innings as an opener. So, you know, Detroit's fading a little bit. You'd think the Mariners could at least at home split that series.
Well, no, that was to avoid a sweep, Jason.
Oh, that was the end of that series. Yeah. That was the end of that series. That's right, because Skubal already beat them earlier
in that series. They're
playing the Mets. So they've got the Mets, who just took 2 or 3 from Colorado. And Houston is in Boston. Big series.
Yeah. Because Boston's playing the best baseball of anybody in this division right now.
And they're, to me, doing it kind of with smoke and mirrors because the starting pitching has regressed substantially, right? Cutter Crawford's getting hit hard. Houck's getting hit much more than he was earlier in the year. Bayo's still up and down. They're just getting contributions from guys all over the place. They're like the little engine that could, and every night it's another hero. I don't know how sustainable it is. But if they have a good series this weekend at home against the Astros, they could be right in shouting distance when they get to town.
Especially if the Orioles and the Yankees keep plodding as they are at the moment, plodding along. Hey, coming up next, purple rain in the forecast. John Harbaugh said the other day most starters will play. What exactly does that look like? We're going to try to get to the bottom of it next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.